All right, as we're continuing our study through the book of Luke, if you'd like to turn with us, we're in Luke, the 12th chapter, the first verses 1 and 2. That would be a short sermon, don't you think? Verses 1 through 12, that's what dyslexic math looks like right there. So, verse 1, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, at this time of Jesus' ministry, he's really kind of reaching a public zenith. He's the top of the charts. His reputation and his ministry is known, and people are coming to be with him. And in this account, he says, as many thousands came to see him or to be ministered to him by him and the disciples and the apostles. So there's a crowd so much that they're stepping on each other. And he speaks a word of wisdom, and he speaks a word of warning. And I love what he says here, to his disciples first. It's very important, because sometimes when we study the word and sometimes when we hear the warnings of Christ, we think it's for the unbeliever or the unrepentant believer, but the word can be for all believers. And so he's speaking to his disciples and to his apostles first, and he warns them. He says, beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now for us, we're going, leaven of the Pharisees? That's and he tells them what it is, which is hypocrisy. That is the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, Jesus' reference to leaven in the immediate context was immediately recognized and understood. Now, as you study the Bible and as we teach the Bible, you need to understand this, is that the Bible had immediate and useful application to the hearer, the immediate audience, as well as it does to us some 2,000 years ago. In the immediate audience context, when Jesus speaks this warning, unlike us who may have went, what in the world is leaven? Everyone there knew exactly what Jesus was speaking of. And they knew exactly the context in which he was speaking, because to the Hebrew, leaven was a symbol of sin in their life. When they were preparing for the Passover, one of the tasks of preparing for Passover is to clean out the leaven of your house. A good Jewish family who was being very orthodox would have no leaven in their house of any kind. And if it were found, they would immediately sweep it out and take it out. So the picture is this. Jesus is telling his disciples and his apostles, be very careful. Because now that we have these big crowds, you know what happens when you have big crowds? One, you might have big offerings. Let me ask you this. Does money and church ever kind of go, yes. I mean, let me tell you what else happens is when you have big crowds, you know what happens? Is you get a little popularity. You kind of get noticed at Starbucks. When you walk in, everyone knows your name, as that old show used to say. At Starbucks here in town, they're turning their shift over too much, because used to everybody knew my name. Now I'm just that guy. But there is one gal who knows me, because I was at a wedding that she was in. It was so funny, because she walked up to me and she goes, don't I know you? And I go, I don't know. Do you? It was so funny to see her mind flipping like mine does. And she goes, Starbucks. And I go, ding, ding, ding. So now we recognize each other. So Jesus is warning them. He says, listen, men, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be very careful, because in the midst of this time, you can fall prey to temptation. You can fall prey to pride. You can fall prey to ego. You can fall prey to fear. You see, the challenge is this, is everyone, well, let me back up. I could just say, speak for me, because I'm an expert on me, is as a pastor and as a teacher and as a Christian, I want as much influence as I can have in my society. I say that absolutely unashamed. Why do we do a podcast? So that the word of God can be proclaimed. It expands the influence of ALF, and in that context, I am the voice of ALF. The reason I do Mint Mask Mondays is so that I can have influence. If you're wondering what that is, just come see me on Facebook. It's pretty awesome. Huh? It is. Now, Ronnie, you cannot curse what you do not know. You cannot reject what you do not know. But the challenge that we face is this. Jesus says, be very careful, because a little leaven will ruin the whole loaf. You see, the challenge that we face as believers and the challenge that he was warning his followers was this, is that if we allow a little sin into our lives and be comfortable with it, it will, in time, take over the entirety of our lives. He says, be very, very careful, because when he speaks of the Pharisees in their beginning, and remember, I mentioned this last week, not every Pharisee does this apply to, but they had a general understanding and a general reputation, okay? But the Pharisees began with righteous intentions. They began with holy aspirations. But in time, it began to drift. In time, they saw themselves a little more important than they should. In time, they valued the position more than the proclamation. In time, they wanted to be noticed at Starbucks more than they wanted to teach truth. In time, they realized that position has its privileges. And they had begun to drift. And that sin had begun to creep into their lives. And what started out as a little now had become a lot. And it had affected everything about them. It had affected their reputation. It had affected their effectiveness. And Jesus warns them. Ladies and gentlemen, just as a nation will fall from the inside out, so a church can fall from the inside. And as a person goes, as an individual goes, we will fall from the inside before we'll be crushed from the outside. The Bible says, I am hard pressed on all sides, yet I am not crushed. But if we allow leaven into our lives, it eventually will eat us like some Oreo without milk. The leaven Jesus will speak of specifically today has a two-pronged approach. The first one is pride, and the second one is fear. Let me ask you this. Does anyone here have any fear in your life? We all have a little fear, don't we? We all fear something. Someone in the first hour said they feared spiders. Anybody here fear a spider? How about a big old honking rat? How about a little bitty mousey? Huh? How about a bird? My daughter will freak smooth out if a bird flies at her. She got scarred as a kid. I don't know. The word leaven in the Greek gives us the word hypocrite. And the word hypocrite means an actor. Jesus is warning that through pride or fear, a person can become an actor. Now, I propose to you, we are all actors to some degree or another. We all play a role in this thing called life, and depending on who we are, where we are, and how we feel, and so many things, we get to decide what you get to see. Jesus warns his followers to not fall into the pattern of the Pharisees, whose leaven is hypocrisy, giving the appearance of something that is not true, being actors. And I propose to you in just a moment, I'm going to show you that even good people with good intentions can become actors unintentionally. Let's look. There is acting in all walks of life, and for a number of reasons. One is ego. We sometimes can act because we want people to think more of us than in what is true. It's just like for me to tell you, I've been slam dunking the basketball at my house all week. I'd like for you to come see it, but, you know, I know you're busy. And I know you say, well, where is it on Facebook? Well, the camera doesn't work. I move too fast. But sometimes, if we're not careful, our ego will cause us to act like someone that we're not. I can remember some 12, 13 years ago when the Lord was leading me to stay in this wonderful church to go, we want you to stay. I was sitting with my bride and I said, honey, what happens when they find out who I really am? And she goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, this is it. There isn't something else. And I remember distinctly telling the church at the time, I don't have another bag of tricks. This is it. You see, ego sometimes can cause us to portray something that we're not, or insecurity. Sometimes, because we're more concerned or more fearful about what people think of us, we will portray ourselves in a way that isn't accurate. Have you ever done what someone else was doing because you didn't want them to think less of you? Or you didn't want them to think you were the square peg in the round hole party? Have you ever gone someplace, said something, done something, shared in something because you didn't want to be that guy? You see, sometimes insecurity. I'm reminded of a pastor once, a friend of mine. Well, he was a friend of a friend, so he was a friendish. He was so insecure in his teaching skills, he was so insecure in his pastoring skills that he took a shortcut. And one time, one of his deacons went to Dallas on vacation, and while in Dallas, he went to the Great First Baptist Church, and while there, he got to hear the pastor at that time. A great pastor, and I will tell you his name, but I can't pull it up right this second. A great pastor, I love the guy. And so the deacon hears this message, he loves this message, and about 7 weeks later, guess what happens back at his home church? Pastor stands up and starts preaching, and he goes, I think I've heard that before. Come to find out that the pastor, with good intention, was so insecure in who he was and what he could do. And I'm not going to blame it on them, but I'm going to say it could be a little bit, because as a pastor, we feel insecure based on the feedback we get from the church. If we hear, oh man, you just don't feed me. Well, what is that going to do to a dude? Listen, I like it, but, you know, so-and-so on TV is better. Well, all right. He was so insecure, he decided a shortcut was the best way for him to portray something that it wasn't, to portray who he wasn't. And what was happening was he was ordering the sermons from First Baptist Church, and he was taking those sermons and processing them and preaching them. Now listen, if it's good enough to preach once, it's good enough to preach twice. Amen, Jeffrey? But listen, it's when a man claims someone else's intellectual property as his own, now that's sin. You see, it's not always an ego that leads us to be an actor at something. Sometimes it's our own insecurity. And that's why when people come to church, there's a temptation to act. Because you may walk in here today broken, but you think everyone in here has it all together, so you want to look like everyone else. We, my friends, you see, that is not what we're called to be. They can inspire confidence in someone else. Sometimes we'll act a part to inspire in someone else's life. We were riverboat rafting years ago, and my son was sitting right behind me. And my son was younger then, and he was a little intrepid there. And I said, son, it's safe. Don't worry about it. And dad gets tossed out of the boat, and I'm remembering two orders. One, don't let go of the boat. And two, don't let go of your oar. So in this hand, I have the oar, and in this hand, I have the rope to the boat. And my son's sitting on the side of the boat, and he's looking at me. His eyes are this big, and I'm going, it's okay, son. It's okay. And that boat turns, and the next thing you know, I feel a rock underneath my back. So there's nowhere for this buoyant body to go. And that boat starts rolling up over me. And so the boat's right here, and I'm looking at my son going, it's okay. It's okay. And then inside, I'm going, it's not okay. You see, sometimes we'll act to try to give someone something they need. The large crowds brought challenges to the disciples and the apostles. It can bring distractions. It can bring detractors. And it can bring pride. And those three things sometimes can lead any one of us to try and portray ourselves something different than we are. Look what the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump. I think we ought to get t-shirts made. I'm a new lump. That would start a conversation Write that one down. In Jesus, I'm a new lump. Sorry, that was free. That you may be a new lump. Just as you are, in fact, unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast with no old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sir Walter Scott gives us this: oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. You see, if we live our lives as actors, my friends, in the end, the curtain will come down. Verse 2, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Jesus tells us that the act will give light, give way to the light, both in the eternal and in the temporal. You see, one of the things that can challenge us not to be actors is this, is that God knows the truth. You don't have to tell him the truth. You don't have to admit to the truth. You don't even have to look at the truth. God knows the truth. And so when we try to act before God, the only person we're fooling is us, but we're not fooling us because we know what? I'm acting. Secondly, then act will only last so long. You can only hold the character so long. That's one of the challenges you see. As a pastor, when I first came to this church, one of my thoughts was this, is I need to make sure, it's always been my philosophy, but when you're pastor, it's a different thing, and I'm sorry, I'm counseling myself, is wherever you see me, you're getting the same thing. You'll not see me on this teaching platform being someone that I'm not, and you'll not see me in Walmart because I don't go there. You will not see me in public being something different than I am. Now, can that be to my detriment? I think so at times. I think there are some people who find themselves thinking, well, you know, I just don't know if Jimmy is spiritual enough. I don't know if Jimmy is righteous enough. I don't know if Jimmy is pastoral enough. And if that is my failure, then that is my failure. But all I know is it takes too much time and too much effort for me to act one way one place and a different way another place. I live my life in such a way that wherever I am, that's where I am. Authenticity, like authentic life, authenticity gives me freedom. It gives me freedom before God. I'm not trying to fool God because why? I can't do it. He already knows. It gives me freedom before God. It gives me freedom in my own life. I'm not worrying about what I may have tried to say or a way I may have acted. I'm not trying to keep up that appearance other places. I'm just me. Da, 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 da. And the beautiful thing is it gives me freedom before the Lord. It gives me freedom in my life. And it gives me freedom with others. That we can just love each other for who we are. With all of our scars, with all of our failures, with all of our wins, we can just love each other where we are. Oh, that's just so refreshing in these days. Verse 4, I say to you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill you or who kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten by the Lord. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Jesus mentions 5 times the word fear. Fear is a powerful thing. And I want you to know this. The devil will use fear against you. The devil will use fear against you. He says this, that the fear of the persons of this world may cause us to become actors. Now, here's a very interesting, and you may want to argue it, is this. The greatest antidote to fear is fear. Let me explain. Verse 29. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is exalted. When we fear men, it's a snare, it's a trap, it's detrimental to us. Jesus reminds us that men's actions are temporal. What can a man do? They can only do it one time. A man can only kill me once. But God's actions are eternal. What man can do are temporal. What God can do is eternal. And we need to understand that and be reminded of that. The fear that cures all other fears is a proper fear of the Lord. Now, see, we don't like to talk about fear, and we don't like to talk about those things because it makes us a little uncomfortable. Our world doesn't like to hear that, but it doesn't change what truth is. Proverbs 9 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." When we have a righteous fear, now let me unpack what that looks like very quickly. It can refer to a terror one feels in a frightening situation. Can I just say this? Is a person who dies without Jesus Christ should be terrified of God. Because eternity is long and hell is hot. That's what the Bible says. If we are living apart from God and we find ourselves stepping into eternity without God, my friends, that is to be greatly feared. Deuteronomy 2 tells us this, "This is the day I will begin to put the dread and the fear of you upon the people everywhere under the heavens, who when they hear the report of you will tremble and be in anguish because of you." Friends, I don't want friends to get saved because they fear hell. But I want friends to know there is something that they should fear. Because that's the truth. Because that's what the Bible says. And how they feel about the Bible doesn't change anything about the Bible. It can mean a respect in a way of servants fear his master and serve him faithfully. Joshua 24 tells us this. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods of your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." It's a righteous fear of humility. It's like a father to a son. I love my father. An 80-year-old man. The other night, we had to go to the ER, and I was trying to talk to him, and it's hard to talk your dad into something he didn't want to do, trying to find that place. I was so good, though. I said, "Dad, you're one of the most intelligent men that I've ever known in my life. But as I recall, your name does not have the letter MD after it." It's a gracious humility. And the third is this. Fear can also denote a reverence or an awe a person feels in the presence of greatness. Have you ever stood in the presence of perhaps one of your heroes and you're just in awe of it, you know, and you don't want to, you know, look kind of foolish, you know, like that professional athlete or your pastor, you know. Pride, Lord, pride. Then he said, "Woe to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." You see, a righteous fear is a culmination of all three of these. And when you and I fear the Lord properly, then our fear of man will wane. Because the opinion that matters is God's. The judgment that matters is God's. The redemption that matters is God's, because it's trustworthy, it's holy, and it's forever. Men are not. "Whom shall I fear if the Lord is on my side?" Verse 8, "And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." There will not be anyone in heaven by accident. There will not be anyone you will walk up upon in heaven and they go, "What am I doing here? How did I get here?" You might get to Houston by accident, but you're not going to get to heaven by accident. And what Jesus is simply saying is this, is if you don't confess me before men. If you don't want me, if you don't want to be a part of me, if you don't want people to know we're in relationship, it's like getting into, we got newly engaged right here. Congratulations. Let's give him a hand. Now let me ask you, brother, you get engaged. Great picture, by the way, on a beach. I mean, you're a leg up there. And you get engaged. And you know what happens today? If it doesn't happen on Facebook, what? It didn't happen. And you go, hey, baby, thank you so much for accepting my invitation. This is going to be so great. Let's put it on Facebook. And she goes, no, I don't think so. Well, why not? Well, my friends might see it. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's going to change that conversation, isn't it? Well, what do you don't want your friends to see it? Well, you know, I love you and stuff. I'm just not quite sure if I want my friends to know. Listen, no one's going to get to heaven by accident. And Jesus simply says, if you don't want me, then okay. He's a gentleman that way. Verse 10, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven them. And if you're on YouVersion, you need to go read this link. For the Pharisees in that context, in the original context, they had the law, God's written word given to them in preparation and pointing to the Savior. They had the prophets who proclaimed the coming Savior. They had the works of Jesus they could see with their own eyes and be testified to. They had the stirring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they had the very teachings of Christ during his ministry and afterwards. Yet they say, no. And Jesus says, they'll not be forgiven. Some of the Pharisees in that context had lost the opportunity to be saved. Is there a sin unto death? Yes. Yes, there is. In our context, we have the Word of God. We have the works of Jesus Christ. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit that testifies to us and convicts us and calls us to salvation and righteousness. And we can say no and no and no. And the unpardonable sin is this, is one day your eyes will close to this life. And if you have continued to say no to Jesus, then you will be forever apart from God. As a side note, it gets easier to say no. And it gets easier and easier and easier. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't believe a man or a woman's chance at salvation is lost until their last breath is expelled from their body. But I will tell you this. It won't get any easier. Had a man one time who says, you know, I'm just going to live the way I want to. When I get old, I'll accept Jesus. I thought, well, that's pretty brazen. A, there's no guarantee you're going to get old. And there's an guarantee that when you're standing at death's door, you're going to even have the conscious capacity to choose Jesus. Talking about living like Vegas. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you're going to speak in your defense or what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you that very hour what you ought to say. One of the greatest challenges of sharing our personal faith is this. I'm afraid of what to say. I'm afraid they're going to ask me a question that I cannot answer. And you know what the answer to the question you don't know is? I don't know. Really? People respect that. I don't know. And this is what I'll do. Even your pastor says that. I hope that doesn't make you think less of me. Well, I don't know. But I tell you what, how about we look together and try to find an answer? It's good. When in relationship and being reliant upon the Holy Spirit, He will guide us in matters of life and ministry. My friends, when we are living in tune with God and God's Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us, you will find times in your life where you will have wisdom and you will have countenance and you will have counsel and you will have courage that you have no idea where it came from. From God the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. Now, to help the Holy Spirit out, and I mean that in the most biblical terms, not the best words, but to do this is this. The more I prepare, the more prepared I am. God has called us to study His Word. God has called us to prepare our minds, prepare our hearts, and to live our lives in such a way that the Holy Spirit, if I can say this, has tools for which to work. You cannot rely upon what you do not know. You cannot speak Chinese unless you know Chinese. Unless God, what, would give you a gift, which I prayed for when I was in China. That would be glorious. That's a whole other sermon. So let me ask you a question. Jesus says there's two types of leaven in the Pharisees. There's ego. And there's fear. And this is what I'm going to say. As I believe in this audience, I don't think there's a mask of ego. But could you have a mask of fear? Could there be fears in your life that you're acting a role someplace? Maybe at work. Maybe with your sports clubs, maybe with your spouse, that the fear has caused you to play the role of fill in the blank? Could it be? Let me ask you this. Do you come to church playing a role? Do you look the same here that you look out there? Could your pastor find you on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock and see the same person? Or are you playing a role, one of two stages of your life? Ronnie, you remember that guy. He says, well, on Sunday I'm a deacon, but Monday what? He played a different role, didn't he? You see, I'm a Sunday guy, and then there's the Monday guy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God calls us just to be. There's the Sunday guy, and the Monday guy, and the Tuesday guy, and the Wednesday guy, and the Thursday guy, and the Friday guy, and the Saturday guy. The guy's the guy. To be authentic. To be real. To not play the role that the world may want. To not play the role that family may want or employer may want. You see, I want my face to look like Jesus. That's what I want. Win, lose, or draw. That's what I want. So my question to you today is this. If we were all extremely honest with ourselves, because God already knows, is there a mask in your life you would be better to lay down? Is there a struggle in your life right now? And you know what? If there is, you can see it right now. You can see that mask right now. You know exactly what it is. God has brought it to your mind. God has brought it to your heart. And He goes, here it is. I encourage you. By the promise of the Lord, lay it aside. Confess that sin, confess that fear, beg God to be all that you need to be, and beg God that, God, just let me be what you want me to be. Regardless, He'll do it. And you will be free in Him, you will be free in your own self, and you know what? You'll be free in your life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, we want to give each other just a moment of privacy as best we can in a room and a crowd this size. And I just want to ask you, my friend, I just want to ask you right now, in the quietness of your own heart, and on that monitor in your brain, has God shown you a mask in your life? Has he said, this is what Jimmy's talking about in your life? This is what my word is talking about in your life. My child, this is what I want you to let go. This is the role I want you to lay aside. Now, I'm not going to ask you what it is because I love you. That's between you and your God. But this is what I want to ask you. No one's going to call you. No one's going to come to you. No one's going to embarrass you in any way. I give you my word. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would ask you to be honest with me today. If you're here today and you say, Jimmy, I see that mask and I know exactly what it is that God is speaking to me about, I just want you to slip your hand up. I'm not asking you what you're going to do with it. I'm asking you, do you see it? Would you slip your hand up and let me say, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Now, my friend, what will you do with it? Father, I give you thanks for this day. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, beginning with myself. God, sometimes I am bulletproof and sometimes I'm a quivering coward. But God, in both of them, just let me be you. God, I don't want to try to be something I'm not. And Father, I pray for my friends, my family. Lord, as you have spoken to their heart, Lord, give them the courage to lay the role aside, to believe in you, to trust you, and say, Lord, from this day forward, I will be authentic in this. Lord, I pray that you'd give them a victory that is above question. Father, I pray that people might see you in a new and refreshing way through their authenticity. Father, I pray that this place that is named Authentic Life would be a place where men and women and boys and girls can come and be real. Father, help us today to lay aside the fear. Help us today to fight off the ego. Help us today to be like Jesus. For your glory, we ask these things. For our good, we ask these things. And for the sake of a lost and dying world, we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen.